Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Cigar Chat brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in wherever you are out there in the world today. You can get us on podcasts. Most of the podcast listeners are out there in droves. Anywhere you can download a podcast, you can download us. If you're downloading us, give us an upvote or a thumbs up, or you know, and if you don't like Logan's hairdo or something, let us know. Give us some feedback. We'll update.
How would
the
they know?
Well, that's a good point. If you're listening on podcasts, you don't know how bad Logan's hair is.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I mean, is my hair talk or something? I don't know.
It's kind of like I have a hat on, so you don't know how bad my hair is.
You don't know how bald you are.
There it is. See, there it is. Appreciate that. This episode of Cigar Chat is brought to you by Gurkha Cigars, manufacturers of the world's finest cigars. Check out Gurkha at your local B&M today. If for some reason your local B&M doesn't carry Gurkha, which I don't see how they couldn't because most of them do, you can find them pretty much anywhere online. And they've got a blend out there for everybody. So check them out, GurkhaCigars.com. We've got Scott Weeks of now, is it Recluse Cigars or is it Recluse is the name of the cigar brand, right? It's Iconic Leaf.
It's mass confusion. We want you to be confused all the time so you don't know which way you're going. The company is actually called Iconic Leaf Cigar. And what was happening was that we decided just to try and put the press out there as Recluse Cigar Company because people were getting confused as the tie-in between Iconic Leaf Cigar, Recluse Cigar. People would show up at the shows, the conventions, at the events. And the number one question we'd be asked all the time is, okay, wait a minute, you're Iconic Leaf Cigar, but you sell Recluse Cigar, you know. So we just decided to just cut the confusion, streamline it, call it Recluse Cigar Company, but on paper, okay, it's Iconic Leaf Cigar Company.
There you go. Well,
we're going to have a pop quiz, so everybody have to remember what the name is. Maybe we'll have a prize or something, you know?
Yeah, everybody take notes. For me, it's always been Recluse Cigars. And it's funny when you say at the different events and things, I remember, and I think it was IPCPR 2013 or 14, where, is that a dartboard?
That is a dartboard. And if you'll notice at the bullseye, there's one little hole there, which was the first dart that I threw.
Oh,
and
man.
It was a bullseye.
Logan, are you buying that?
Not for a minute.
you don't see it. You don't see it. It's there.
Oh, man. No, that's the kind of thing that I would do. Like, I'd hang it up and just throw the first one, and it's a bullseye, and nobody would ever believe me. Nobody would ever
believe me. It is what it is.
Yeah, no, that's
I believe
cool,
it.
That, there you go. That's
I know
all that matters. What I was saying was my first it must have been 2014, where in my welcome pack, you get the little welcome pack at IPCPR. There's always a cigar or two in there, and there was you had the Draconian was in there, and you had the
Hold
second.
On. Is there?
Oh, there was at least the last.
I've never gotten that.
You know when you get the bag and I don't know. There's all kinds of marketing materials and stuff in there.
I don't know about all that.
This was 2014. This was a few years ago. But anyway, okay. there was a cigar in there. And then Fratello did it a couple of years ago, too.
I don't know. Did they? Yeah. I thought I was blazing my own trail with that marketing idea. So somebody else did it before me?
No, I think you did it before them. And okay. you put a secondary band on there that wasn't normal to the cigar. And when you opened up the secondary band, it was a map of the show floor. And it said, we're right here. Come visit us. I always thought that was really
cool. That's pretty clever. That's pretty clever.
And it actually it was a great idea in here, but it wasn't a great idea in the application. Everything that you said was perfect, but the problem was when you put one cigar that's not in a protective tube in a bag where a bunch of like you ever seen the Samsonite gorilla commercial where the gorilla goes in there and he starts banging around the luggage. Well, what these guys did, unfortunately, was they just threw the cigar in there. It was like, glad to be rid of that thing. And then they threw a bunch of stuff on top of it. And so then the bags were being jumbled around. You had 2,500 bags piled on top of each other. So people were like coming up to me like, do you make an L-shaped cigar? Is that what this is, an L-shaped cigar? So the cigars were busted. I had people 2 years later saying that was an amazing idea, but what the hell happened to the cigar? So. You know, it was actually got us a lot of new accounts, but And we sent out a lot of resamples after the show because people were like, hey, that looks like an amazing cigar. Can you send me out one that's not shaped like an L or shaped like a U? So we sent them out a straight one, and we opened up some accounts that way. So I guess all in all, it was good.
We may do it again,
but if we do it, we're going to do it in a plastic tube next time. That way, even the monkeys can't screw it up. You know what I mean?
I was one of the lucky ones because my cigar, and I remember the group that we were with, there everybody got different ones. I was the only one who got the Recluse, or maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm confusing years, but anyway.
No, that was intentional, Rob. That was intentional, man. We that was subterfuge, man. We planted that just for you.
No, you must have, because mine was perfect. And when I got it home, I said, oh, I've never smoked this. I'll fire it up. And I did a review. It ended up being in my top 10 of the year. It's a fantastic cigar. So it worked out.
That was an amazing year for us. And we were so honored in 2013. I think it was actually when we came out with the Recluse Draconian. And then we put it in the bags. I think it was 2013 at the IPCPR show that year, because we came out with the Amadeus Connecticut the following year in 2014. But that 2013, that was such an amazing year for us. I mean, that Draconian, I think it made you guys top 25 list. And you, like you said, I think it was in your top 10 for the year. And then we made another top 25 list that year, and we were very honored. You know, each year it seems to get better for us, because our philosophy as a company is that we're never going to make a dog rocket to fulfill some kind of niche that the cigar industry has for like a split second in time. We're just not going to make those types of cigars. This is the part where I get very serious, and I tell you that, you know, I spent so many years on the road selling and marketing and building other people's brands, the biggest brands on the market today. A lot of them, me and my dad and my grandfather had a hand in building. And so I feel like if I'm going to do it, then I have a responsibility to everything that I've learned along the way to try and take that knowledge and to make it better. And so that's what we do. And as far as I know today, we're the only company that still ferments every leaf in the cigar except for the wrapper. And for your listeners out there that don't know what fermentation is, every tobacco leaf in the world has ammonia in it, and you bring that out through fermentation. And we ferment every leaf in our cigars for 2 years to make it to where you get the flavor of the characteristic that's actually in the leaf with no baggage. Now, you can't ferment the wrapper that long unless it's like in a Maduro, or you're going to make it take it a little step further with an Oscuro, because each time you do a fermentation cycle, the leaf gets a little bit darker. So you can't have a Connecticut shade wrapper looking like Maduro, and you can't have a Habano looking like an Oscuro. So you can't ferment those leaves that long, you know, but we do all the rest, the binder, the filler.
So this, I've got a question actually based on that. And I've never really thought about this until you said, you know, fermenting Ecuadorian Connecticut, it keeps getting darker, and that all makes sense. Does that impact the flavor? Like if you were to ferment that Ecuadorian Connecticut wrapper, and it comes out, you know, five or six shades too dark, is it still going to taste the same, or is it going to have a different flavor profile?
It's going to have a different flavor profile, yeah. And here's why. In addition to every tobacco leaf in the world having ammonia in it, Rob, every tobacco leaf in the world also has sugar in it. Okay, so when you take a leaf and you ferment it longer, or you take it through a Maduro process, which is heating the leaf up to 150 degrees, and as the leaf starts to get darker, what happens is the sugar crystals rise to the surface of the leaf, and so you get more of a sweeter, more juicy flavor out of that leaf. So if you ferment a wrapper for that long, not only is it going to look like a Maduro, but the sugar crystals are going to rise to the surface of the leaf just like it would in the normal Maduro process, and you're going to get a sweeter, juicier leaf. It won't be stronger. It'll be cleaner. There won't be any baggage with it. It'll be darker, so the end consumer won't, they'll be like thinking, whoa, this thing's going to make me squat to pee after I smoke it. So they'll be confused when they smoke it, and it's not something that makes them squat to pee, you know. So it'll be something that is sweeter, juicier, darker, of course, but it'll still be very, very smooth because that fermentation brings all of the ammonia.
That makes sense. And Logan, as I was asking the question, you were saying, no, it's not going to taste the same. And in common sense, of course not. Just, I guess I've never really thought about it in those terms. I don't know. Maybe that's why it just sounded like a question.
The thing is, there's a lot of one of the things that I've been able to get from years and years of going to different factories and seeing different types of growing methods, seeing different types of hydroponics and stuff like that, and soil compositions, magnesium, purging the soil, cross-pollinization, hybrid leaves, all this kind of thing. I've been able to learn about some of the forensics of the actual leaf and be able to take that knowledge from the foundation of the leaf and bring it up into the end product that people get. And I take it extremely seriously, extremely seriously. I was on a broadcast a while back, and somebody asked me, you know, about our new Lancero. And, you know, J.R. Dominguez and I, which is the gentleman who makes, who runs the factory and puts on and makes sure that all of the cigars are put together properly with our rolling method and the blends and everything. He and I actually had a marital dispute over this Lancero because, you know, I wanted to make sure that it was absolutely perfect. Some of the things that I wanted to do to make sure that the blend stood out in the same true fashion as the Amadeus Connecticut and the Recluse Amadeus Habano Reserva. I actually got up out of the office and I walked out. I said, listen, we're just not going to do it at all, you know, because he said it was too difficult. And I said, listen, we're just not going to do it at all. I just don't want to do it. If we cannot do it in the true, style that we do all of our other products, because we roll all of our products into bile. And for your listeners that don't understand, your listeners are very educated, so they probably already know, but if there's any of the new listeners out there that don't know what intubao is, or intubar or intubato, most factories, they take their filler and they do a process called bunching, which is folding the filler leaves back and forth. And then they bunch it, then they put the binder leaf on it, and then they put it in the press. What we do is an old Cuban tradition that started over 100 years ago, and that's taking each filler leaf by hand and rolling them separately. And then the room goes dark before you put them together. Like that. So we roll each filler leaf by hand and then pull the separate rolls together, and then you put the binder leaf on it. Now, that cuts production down by 30%. It's a lot harder to do, but what it does, it creates air channels in the cigar. So every cigar that you smoke is guaranteed to have an effortless draw every single time that you smoke it. Now, to take that from regular sizes like a Robusto, a Toro, a 6x60, or trademark Sidewinder shapes, which are 57 ring gauge, and put that in a Lancero, okay, which is a 38 ring gauge by 7 inches, okay? And so you're going to take 4 leaves, all right, and roll them into bile, into a 38 ring gauge, and have it come out to be something that people like are saying it's the best Lancero. I mean, I'm not saying it. I'm saying what other people have said. I've had people tell me it's the best Lancero they've ever smoked. And so we rolled the Recluse Amadeus Habano Reserva in a Lancero, and it was so good. I'm like, okay, we have to do, you know, JR and I, we made up and kissed. We figured out a way to do it and make it exceptional. So we said, you know what? We got to do this in the Amadeus Connecticut. And we did it in the Amadeus Connecticut. And I was just over in the Dominican Republic 3 days ago for a factory trip to work on some stuff. And I was at a wedding of JR's sister was getting married. And I took some of the Amadeus Connecticut Lanceros to the wedding. And they had the wedding cigars, and they had all of these different cigars out there, and people were like, it was like I was selling Viagra at a senior citizens AARP convention, and people could not get enough of it. And they kept coming back. Do you have any more of those Lanceros? You got any more of the Lanceros? That's the way these cigars are flying right now. And so anyway, that was the short answer. If you want the long answer, I'll give you the long answer.
I love the analogies you use. Oh, man. So we've got some Lancero fanatics, and you brought it up, and that was actually the first question that was posted. And it's from On in Chicago. He's talking about the reckless Lanceros. You talked about already what makes them a little bit different. He's curious, how many pairs do you have rolling these Lanceros?
We got six pairs, okay, a pair. And I'm sure he knows, you know, for your listeners that don't know what a pair of rollers is one roller who does the intubao rolling style and then puts the binder on it and puts it in the press. The other part of the pair is a person who puts the wrapper on after the cigar is sat in the press for a while. So we have six pairs total that can roll the Lanceros. And I don't know if you remember or not, our cigar called the Canoe, okay, that was originally brought out in the OTG and now it's available in all of our, we only have one pair in the factory that can roll that cigar. That cigar is impossible. Impossible.
So, you know? With those six rollers, are they rolling anything else, or is that's their job? They're rolling Lanceros all day, every day.
That's all they, listen, we have to pay them a lot of money to roll that cigar, because to roll into Bao on a 7x38 Lancero and to make it come out the way these cigars do, okay, we're blessed to have these guys. And we're definitely not going to piss them off, because if we lose some of our pairs of rollers with the way that these cigars are selling right now, we'll be screwed. You know, you can't clog up the toilet bowl with orders because people start getting ticked off. Their customers are coming in. Hey, you know, why are you trying to sell out of an empty wagon? You know, you're not selling wagons, you're selling cigars. You know, where are my Lanceros? So we can't have that happening, and we don't want to piss off our customers. We want them to have a continual flow of product.
Absolutely. Now, we, John and I we did a pairing show with, I believe it's the Habano, correct? With the maroon wrapper or the maroon band?
Yeah. We call it Burgundy after Ron Burgundy.
Yeah, we did a pairing show with that one. And actually, next week, we're going to, it'll air 2 weeks from now. We're recording it next week, where we'll have a show with the Connecticut as well. I'm looking forward to that. Remind the audience, you're listening to Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world, the Armed Forces Radio Network. We're here with Scott Weeks of Recluse Cigars. This next segment, we're talking about Lanceros, as always. We talk about Lanceros a lot on this show. For a cigar that a lot of people say doesn't really sell, or a size that doesn't really sell, we talk about it a lot. But this next segment is brought to you by Cigar Oasis. Cigar Oasis is the leader in cigar humidification. Set it and forget it is our motto, and that's exactly what I do. I just set it and forget it. Logan, you just kind of set it and forget it, right? I know you got to Cigar Oasis over there. You're muted, bro. That's such a rookie mistake. Rookie mistake. You're still muted. I can't hear you. So we'll move forward. But I've got Cigar Oasis. If you don't have Cigar Oasis, check them out, cigaroasis.com. So when we were at IPCPR, yours was one of the more entertaining interviews that we did, by the way. And you had – and that stack of cigars that people can see by you, that stack of boxes, the color-coded boxes you have there, you had a ton of new things happening this – yeah, no, they're on your left. There you go. If you're listening, you know, on Armed Forces Radio Network, you're checking out the podcast, you can't see it, but it's a big stack of boxes. Tell us a little bit about some of this stuff that's new, that's already on the market. Maybe it's coming to the market within the next, 2 years, year and a half.
Yeah. First of all, for the guys out there on the Armed Forces Radio and Television Network, we used to call it AFARTS. I was actually a journalist in the United States Navy from 82 to 88. So I did a lot of the broadcasting for the Armed Forces Radio and Television Network for the Sixth Fleet and for the Middle East Force, Combat East Force. So all of you guys that are out there right now overseas that are listening, I got a soft spot in my heart for you, bro. I've done it myself and ladies, not just bros and ladies. I got a soft spot in my heart for you. I've done it myself. And for all you shellbacks out there that have crossed the equator and eating the cherry out of the bosun's mate's belly button, I'm feeling your pain, baby. I know where you're at. I did it myself. So, all right. So, anyways, you want to see the show and tell? I got the show and tell.
Break it down.
Here we go. At IPCPR in Las Vegas, Nevada, okay, we did an FDA push, and we came out with 9 new blends at the IPCPR show. One of the blends was an expansion of our very popular Amadeus line, which is the Recluse Amadeus Los Cabos. And everything is 3D holographic, and it has a San Andreas Maduro wrapper on it. The binder is Sumatran. Sorry, all these Beveda packs are falling out of here. The binder is Sumatran. And the filler is Dominican Ligero, Viso, and Seco. And then it has a Pennsylvania broadleaf in it. This cigar will make a bulldog snap his chain. Not because it's strong, but because it's good. And then the Recluse Amadeus Rosado. This is an Ecuadorian grade A Rosado. Logan, you still there, bro, or are you still muted?
He's working out some issues over there, I think. I don't know.
He's out there. La-la-la-la. This is the Amadeus Rosado. That cigar will make a rabbit hug a hound dog, even during hunting season. All right.
Can you hear me?
There you are.
Yeah, I don't know why. The internet works just fine until I got on the show, and then it went to crap.
Logan, you're back.
I'm here.
This is the Recluse Amadeus Corojo Reserva. This is a thing of beauty right here.
I love the packaging. The packaging that you guys use is very eye-catching. I dig it.
We make all of our own boxes. One thing I said when I started, every box that we make, everything that we do, the cellophane, we when we started, we weren't making our own cellophane, but we made a couple of deals for cellophane machines, and we traded some tobacco, and now we have cellophane machines. We have band-making facilities. We have graphics designers that design our bands. We can print our own bands if we need to. It's easier for us to outsource it in Florida, but if we need to, if we get backed up on bands, we can print our own bands. And we print bands for retailers all over the United States because we do a lot of private label programs.
Now, so a quick question. This just popped up in the chat room here. Jason Raybuck wants to know, he says, are those Churchills that you're showing us, or do they just look long because of the camera angle?
Jason, what's up, buddy? These are Toros, which is a 6.25 by 50. Okay, that's what they are. Everything looks a little, the objects in your scope may be larger than they appear. Just like this. Hey, listen, you remember what the interview we did at the show, right? It was pumped up. It was vibed up. Well, tonight I drank a little drink that I call the Energetic Happy Hard On. Okay, what it is, it's a shot of rum. It's got 5-hour energy. And then I stuck 100 milligram Viagra in there, and I drank it all at one time. Now, here's what happened. It had no effect on me at all, but I picked up a petite Corona, and this is what I ended up with. I have no idea how that happened. It's an 11 by 90 Recluse Amadeus Habano Reserva. Okay, 11 inches long. It started out as a petite Corona. I have no idea how that happened. seriously, I had that made for somebody, a retailer friend of mine down in Florida. So I'm going to give that to him when I go down there to visit him.
And you're going to make him smoke it.
I'm going to make him smoke it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Continuing on, now that was the 3 new blends of the Amadeus I just showed you. Then we've got the Amadeus. I mean, I'm not Amadeus, the Recluse OTG Connecticut. And this cigar, oh my goodness. I'm in love with this cigar. Still today, out of all of our blends, J.R. Dominguez, my partner, the OTG Maduro is still his favorite cigar. And that was the first cigar we ever came out with. and it's still his favorite cigar today. Now, my favorite cigar personally is the OTG Ecuadorian Connecticut. And then it would have to be did I say OTG Connecticut? Amadeus, yeah. Connecticut.
There you go.
Okay, the Amadeus Ecuadorian Connecticut is still my favorite cigar today. And then it would have to be the Amadeus Habano Reserva. Now, carrying on with the OTG, which for anybody that's not familiar with OTG, it stands for off the grid or on the grid, whichever way you want to look at it. Those are, if you see something falling out of the boxes when I open it, that's the Baveda packs. So, like to keep them fresh.
You got Baveda packs in each box that you guys sell?
Put the Beta bags in each box, and then I keep them in the cabinet in the office under humidification as well, just a little extra safe. Because these boxes that I have were actually the ones that were out at the show. When you guys came by and looked at the booth and looked in the cabinet, these were the ones I had out at the show, so I'm actually recovering these cigars. Now, this cigar is a very complex blend. This is in a purple box, purple band. And it's called the Recluse OTG Dominican Puro. I've seen a lot of Dominican Puros come out on the market. And I didn't want to mess with the project unless I could come out with something that was absolutely phenomenal. That's not like any other Dominican Puro that anybody has ever smoked before. And that's what this cigar delivers. You know, there's a lot of people out there that like the smooth, musky, rich flavor of a Nicaraguan. Well, I was actually able with this cigar, the Dominican Puro, to make a cigar that gives you those kind of characteristics, but you can definitely tell that it's a Dominican cigar, but it gives you all of that kind of characteristics that you look for out of, like, I won't say any brand names, out of some different styles of Nicaraguan cigars, you get this Dominican Puro. And that's what I was looking to do, not to have people think it's a Nicaraguan cigar because I'm not making a Nicaraguan Puro. But I want them to feel like that they can have this Dominican Puro and have it be super exceptional and still not be the standard Dominican Puro. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I feel like there's been a kind of a trend in the industry to do things along those lines. Like there's Nicaraguan Puros that don't blow you away like you would think a Nicaraguan Puro would when you're familiar with Nicaraguan tobacco. And you don't see too many of them coming from the opposite side with the Nicaraguan the Dominican Puro that's going to have a little bit more oomph is really the only word that comes to mind for me. That's going to have a little bit more oomph than your average Dominican Puro. So I personally think that those kind of things are really cool because you're definitely getting that Dominican style tobacco, and some of those things that you're always looking for in a Dominican cigar are going to be there, but there's just it's going to have a little bit of a tweak to it, a little bit of a difference to it. And to me, that's a great way to make your cigars stand out on the market.
Yeah. I agree with you, man. I'm not the kind of guy that wants to just stand in line and do the same thing that everybody else does. You know, I'm the kind of guy that wants to blaze their own trail. You know, I feel like I only want to do or put my hands to something that's going to be the very best. Otherwise, I just don't want to mess with it. I'll be happy with what I've already got. You know, I just don't want to. You know, I've had these blends. You know, people could say, oh, you know, he did the FDA push and he rushed all this stuff. And, you know, I haven't really heard anybody say that, but I mean, that's what I would think. Okay. And, but the thing is, I've had these blends in my head for years.
Yeah.
And these are projects that I've wanted to do, and these concepts have been in my head for years. And one of the things, like, what do they call the people that mix drinks on the fly? Is it called a
mixologist?
A mixologist, but isn't it called an alchemist or something? Or it's something starts with an A, but they're like aficionados of mixology. They're like the upper level of mixology, you know? I think it's just something that I've picked up over the years, and I don't know what exactly the cutoff date was when I picked it up, but something over the years, it's like been able to, I can take different leaves of tobacco and put them in my head and jumble them around. And I can say, okay, this is going to do this, and this is going to do this, and this, and this, and this is going to do this. So if we put this together, let's see if it does what I think it's going to do. And if not, I've got a plan B and a plan C. We can take this, this, and this, and do this, and take this, and this, and do this. And it's like it's all in my head before I even start. And so it's not like I go to the factory and I spend 3 weeks working on a blend. It's every concept since we started, every single blend concept since we started has been solidified within 3 days. Wow. That's crazy. That's crazy. Every blend that we've, and I'm going back in my memory, almost six years, every blend that we've come out with on the market has been solidified in 3 days. Or less, because it worked when we put it together and it was what we thought it was going to be. Or if not, plan C worked. Cool. You know, it's just something that's been picked up over the years, man. It's just like I got 50 more blends in my head right now, but I can't do anything with them.
Yeah, you can't make them anymore, damn it.
Yeah, because the FDA. You know, the yeah. FDA. So that's these 9 new blends that we came out with. We put those out to show because those were some that had already been tested, that we had already played with, and they worked. And it was like, okay, this is definitely a winner. So, and we had those 9 blends. We knew that they worked. We weren't going to do the other 50 blends and just put them together and say, okay, this is what it is. This will be on the FDA paperwork, and then it comes out, and it's a turd sandwich. We weren't willing to do that, you know. But these 9 blends and different sizes are going to take care of us for our growth for the next 15 years.
That's good to hear. I know we've still got a few more to get through. I've got a question here, though, from Shooter, and it's kind of in reference to what you were just talking about. Shooter's curious, how often are you down at the factory? How much time do you spend down at the factory on any given year?
I go down to the factory. Did you say Shooter?
Shooter.
Hey, Shooter, what's going on, bro? I go down to the factory about anywhere from 7 to 10 days every 3 months. That's all I really need to do. JR is 27 years old when we started this. He was almost 22, and he'd been working in his dad's factory all his life. He's very capable and to do everything. So I go down there. I look around. I say, okay, why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? He explains it to me. I say, you know, hey, can we do this? What do you think if we do this way? Oh, I never thought of that. Or, nah, it won't work because of this. So that's my reason for going down there, you know, 7 to 10 days out of every 12 weeks. And then, you know, after we get done, we probably only spend 3 to 4 days messing around in the factory during that time. The rest of the time, the family has an apartment down at Sisua Beach, so we go down and hang out at the beach.
Nice. And,
you know, there's nothing really to look at down there. You know, we just sit there all day and stare out over the water. But
you know. Yeah, I'm sure you're checking out the wildlife. How about that?
It's a great place.
Yeah, no, I've never been down to Dominican. It's on my list. I've been to Nicaragua a handful of times, and
what? I'm sure.
Never been. Never been. And actually, I've got my wife is trying to talk me in. Well, not trying to talk me into it, but every time we start planning a vacation, the Dominican is always on the list. And then for some reason, maybe we find some sort of special deal or, you know, what have you. Something else always comes up. And we haven't put that into practice yet. But it's definitely going to happen in the near future because
where's Logan at? Is he having a conjugal visit in the bathroom? What's he doing?
Logan,
apparently, the truth.
Apparently, Logan, no, he sent me a message. He's trying to get back on his internet, I believe. dropped him out. So he is. It's just you and I and the audience. And we're going to take some more of those audience questions.
Here's the deal. All right. So you and Logan, or you, okay, either one, both of you, your wives, whatever you want to do, come to the Dominican. All right. We got a place for you to stay. All right. So you don't have to worry about that. We got motorcycles. We got ATVs. We got the beach. All right. We got an apartment down at the beach. Actually, we have a house down at the beach. You guys come over there. We'll spend a weekend smoking cigars. You guys will be like Cheech and Chong. We'll be on our way down to the beach. We'll have the windows cracked. Smoke will be coming out. You know, people behind us will be coughing like, what the, what? So you guys, all you got to do is take care of your flights to the Dominican. Get to Santiago. We'll take care of you from there, okay?
I could see a Cigar Federation field trip maybe in the near future. Just want to remind the audience, you're listening to Cigar Chat brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world, the Armed Forces Radio Network. We're here with Scott Weeks. That is just a gigantic cigar, man. It's 10 inches, you said?
11 inches by 90 ring gauge.
That's just ridiculous. We're talking about all kinds of different things. This next segment is brought to you by Drew Estate. You got to check out the new Drew Estate Diplomat app. If you're not on the Drew Diplomat app, as Logan would say, you're just a poser, so you got to make sure you get on that. I'm on it. Logan's on it. Pretty much everybody at Cigar Federation is on it. So you got to check out the Drew Diplomat app. You can download that anywhere. You can download apps for any type of device that will do something with an app. So you have no excuses. You got to check it out. So let's see. I know you've got three more releases that you haven't gotten through yet of the nine, right?
Wow. Somebody's been paying attention.
Well, it's pretty easy. They're sitting right there on the desk. They're right there. They're 1, 2, 3. I can count that high.
All right. So after you go through the three new releases of the Recluse Amadeus, which is the Amadeus Los Cabos, the Amadeus Rosado, the Amadeus Corojo Reserva, and then you go through the Recluse OTG, the Connecticut Habano, and Dominican Puro. Then we go to the Recluse Draconian Connecticut, right there. This will make a whore go to church on a Wednesday, okay? Why, guys? Because Wednesday is hump day.
I don't even know what that means, but I definitely want to smoke that cigar.
There it is right there with the cigars included.
Now, so that's the same Draconian blend with the Connecticut wrapper, yeah?
Yes. Yes, it is, because we didn't need to change that blend. That blend is actually the most eclectic blend we've ever made. And it was interesting because our first blend was the OTG Maduro. And then we came out with the second blend, and we're like, okay, well, most people, when they come out with a second blend, they just throw another wrapper on it, and they don't change the blend. Well, our second blend was Draconian, and we completely changed the blend. We went off the reserve on the Draconian, okay? We used an Ecuadorian Maduro. The only thing that was the same between the two cigars was the binder, okay? It was a Sumatra binder. And then we used a Braziago in the filler. Braziago is a Brazilian-Dominican hybrid so that you get the flavor of the Brazilian and you don't get the black shank and the blue mold that's familiar with that leaf. So that's why we hybrided a Dominican Olor with a Brazilian leaf so that we got that combination. And then we use Piloto Cubano, which is something that you find in the Davidoff white label. And then we use a leaf that JR and I cultivated, and we developed a seed strain. It's called Iconic Ligero. And it's got an amazing flavor. And at the same time, it stimulates the saliva gland, so you don't get dry mouth while you're smoking the cigar. And then the fourth leaf is very top prime Dominican Ligero, right up underneath the Media Tiempo, the two leaves on the very top, right up underneath there. That's the very top prime of the Dominican Ligero we use in that. And so that was the first cigar that we used that had four leaves in the filler. And then every cigar that we created since then had four leaves in the filler, every single blend, because we were able to like make the cigar even more complex and flavorful. And with the fermentation that we use, it just brings everything into sync. So any questions before I show you the next one?
No, we'll jump into the next one. But that Draconian, it really is, it's a special blend. It's one of those cigars that I remember the first time I smoked it. It's that kind of cigar where, you know, you have that, it's like you take that first few puffs and you're like, wow, this is really something. This is different. This is special. It's got some uniqueness to it. And that's one of those cigars that I can always go back to. And I know that there's a particular flavor profile there that I really enjoyed. And every time I've revisited that cigar, it hasn't let me down. I haven't tried any of the new wrappers on them though. So I'm curious to try those out.
You know, that's the only way to really get me to shut up and just sit there and listen.
to flood you with compliments.
when somebody appreciates the cigar for what we put into it, it's like, okay, I don't have to make my own music. Somebody else is playing Guns N' Roses' "Sweet Child of Mine" for me. You know, I mean, you're telling me the way I feel about the cigar. And when somebody comes to me at an event, or if I'm standing in a store and they say, you know, this cigar is different from any other cigar I've smoked, or they say, you know, this cigar is what you said it was. This cigar is amazing. I just got to shut up at that point and just listen, because, you know, those kind of things are what we do it for. I mean, of course you want to make money. You want to support your family. I mean, I've got a 2-year-old daughter, a 4-year-old daughter. I got a 14-year-old son, and I got a visually impaired wife, you know, and she because she's way too hot to be married to me. You know what I'm saying? So there's something wrong with the woman's vision, man. That's the secret. You get them on the entrance door to Lens Crafters, not the exit door. Get their vision fixed. So anyway, we all got, it's important for me to be able to support my family, support my wife, support my kids. But the thing that I do it for is, you know, is when I hear stuff like that, it really brings it home for me, because of all the aggravation and the thought process and the creativity and the effort that I put into it. And when I hear that, bro, it's almost as good as sex.
That made me a little uncomfortable. That last, I was with you right until the end, and it got a little uncomfortable. So I'm going to move on. No, I pulled up my review actually while you were chatting, and that is the exact one with that extra recluse footband from IPCPR. And it must have been 2014, because I reviewed it in September of 2014, and I rated it a 94, which on our rating system is a box purchase. And my comments at the end were like, I said, yes, it's that good. The only question is where to buy the box. And I said, I officially have my eye on J.R. Dominguez. That was my final comment of that review.
Yeah, you know, and that's actually that review actually surprised me, because that cigar, you know, I maybe you brought it back and put it in your humidor for a while, whatever, but that cigar sat in those bags for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. Without a tube. Now, I didn't know it was going to sit in there for so long. And if I remember correctly, that was in the desert. Was that in Vegas?
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah. That was in the desert. Okay. And it sat in those bags for 3 weeks. And you didn't know whether you were going to get a broken one because of the way they packed the bags, or whether you were going to get a really good one. And man, when I read that review, that was almost worth the cost of putting all those cigars in the bags just by itself. I was so happy about that. That just made my IPCPR that year.
Well, you know, at least one of them survived. At least one of those cigars didn't come out L-shaped, and it survived. Yeah. At least one.
Yeah. Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate that, man.
Yeah,
we have really good accolades on everything that we've been doing. It's actually quite humbling when you. I started out expecting 97 ratings on everything that I did.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I was like, man, if I don't get a 97 or 98 on this cigar after everything I put into making it, you know, I'm just going to stick a stick of dynamite up my butt and light the fuse. You know what I'm saying? But then I started, you know, coming back down to reality, and I started realizing, hey, you know, if you get a 90 or above, it's a good rating in today's market. you know? And fortunately, you know, I can't think of a time when we've ever, and please correct me, and I'm good with it if you do, but I don't think in 5.5 years that we've ever gotten a score with anybody that's less than a 90 on any of our cigars. You know, I'm not going to mention any other name because Cigar Federation is ground zero for cigars, man. So there is no other reason to mention a name, but it's been a blessing. And I feel a little bit validated for the efforts and JR does too, for the efforts and the time that we put into really doing a cigar the right way.
Yeah, you should. And we're, thank you for that compliment. We're very aware that there are other sites and you can name them. It's okay. We name them all the time. I go to Cigar Coop all the time. Usually if I want my news, that's where I go. It's the Cigar Coop. We go to Half Wheel all the time. And the Cigar Dojo, all those sites. Absolutely. We've got great relationships with all those guys. I'm actually looking back through this review and I personally guaranteed, no one ever called me on this. I personally guaranteed that if you enjoy Maduro cigars, that you should buy this. And if you buy a 5-pack and if you don't like it, I will buy the rest of them from you. I personally, I've never done that before or since. I personally guarantee it.
And that was 2013 and this is 2016 and you would have remembered it before you read it just now because somebody would have said, hey, you owe me a 5-pack. So that's exactly. Really good.
Exactly. No one, everybody who bought it must have enjoyed it because no one called me on it. But yeah, phenomenal cigar. And now, so you've got it in the Connecticut, and are those other two boxes, are those different iterations of the Draconian, or are they something else?
Yeah, it is, but just so I don't forget, okay, I'd like to have a touchy-feely moment with your listeners.
I had one of those, and it made me uncomfortable.
Yeah, but it didn't make me feel uncomfortable, because I was on the kicking team, right? But listen, there are so many companies out there like mine, like Recluse Cigar Company or Iconic Leaf Cigar, whatever you want to call it, that make their living day-to-day selling in the retail stores, and they really have a passion and a belief system about doing the very best of what they possibly can do. It's passion. It's like an artist who has a passion for drawing the perfect painting the perfect painting, and he'll sit there for 3 days stressed out until he gets it perfect. You know, that's the way a lot of us feel that are in the cigar business, that are artisans. But a lot of us guys, we can't afford a $25,000 page of advertising. You know, we can't afford to spend, you know, $1 million a year marketing our product. You know, When we have an outlet like Cigar Federation and like some of the other people that are really doing it well, like Cigar Federation in the business, it means everything to us. It's something that we're able to access the consumer without paying $25,000 for a page of advertising. And we're able to communicate with the guys out on the street and let them know what we're doing. And so, you know, I don't want to get too touchy feeling, but bro, you know, you guys, you mentioned Will Cooper, Cigar Coop, and you know, a lot of the other guys, you guys are doing an amazing job for our industry. And I just wish that we could do more for you guys, but it can't because it's like a conflict of interest, but we love you guys. And I know that everybody that is in the brotherhood of manufacturers that I deal with realizes and very much respects the importance of what you guys are doing and other people like you. Thank you so much.
I appreciate okay. That was nice of you to say that. I appreciate that. And you know, everybody that you named, everybody's working hard. You know, we're all kind of in this together. We're pulling the rope in the same direction, whatever cliche you want to use. But yeah, I mean, we celebrate cigars at Cigar Federation. That's what we do. So, luckily you make some really good ones for us to celebrate.
Thank you, brother. Cause I could be on the poop end of the stick, right? Mm-hmm. If I was making dog rockets. So I probably wouldn't be making this great speech. If I was on but, you know, it's really fantastic what you guys do, man.
Appreciate it.
The other blend that we were alluding to is the Draconian Habano. Okay, and that's kind of like, it's a deep blue and red and almost white, so it's like a kind of like a red, white, and blue kind of theme. And there goes the Beveda pack again. 3D holographic, red, white, and blue. You can't really see it very well with the lighting right there, but it's kind of red, white, and blue bands. Very sexy, very Americano. You know what? Maybe we should have called it Americano Habano. You know what, though? No cigars with the word American have ever sold really good.
I think it probably, I don't know.
When people think of cigars, they don't think of America. You know, they think of the romance, the artisanship of Latin America. And so when you put American on the product, I think it kind of, in the end consumer's mindset, it kind of denigrates it a little bit.
You start to think of like cigarette tobacco.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of thing that I think pops into, that kind of conjures up into my head. And I can think of a few cigars that have had, you know, American blend or this, that, or the other on their name. And they've been good cigars. I'm not privy to the information as to whether they've sold very well or not, but, yeah, I could see what you're saying.
None of them that I remember ever sold very well. But on the cigarette side, there was an import brand called American Spirits with an Indian on it that sold like Q-tips and tampons. It was ridiculous, you know. But I guess there's an exception to every rule, in the cigar business, I know several of my compadres that tried to come out with cigars with the American concept just didn't work. But, hey, whenever you got red, white, and blue, baby, you got to be true.
There you go.
So the third one on the Draconian is the Draconian Corojo. Pronounced Corojo, not Carajo. If you say Carajo in Spanish, it means hell. Okay? Oh. This cigar is heaven. Okay? So this is Corojo. All right? Get it straight, guys and girls. Corojo.
I don't think I've ever heard anyone say Carajo.
Well, that's what it means if they say it.
Interesting. It means, I didn't know that.
And that, guys and girls, is all 9 new blends, plus the 2 new Lanceros, plus the cigar that I started out with tonight was a Petite Lancero until I drank the energetic Happy Heart on. And now, that's what it is, an 11x90. Hey, Monica, if you're out there, bring back any memories.
Jeez, that cigar is ridiculous, man. You have to make your buddy smoke it. He's got to smoke it. You make it specially for somebody else, they have to smoke that thing.
I'm going to make him light it up on air, believe me.
That's a 5-hour cigar, something like that.
That's probably an understatement.
Yeah,
an 11x90. You'd probably be there for a good 12 hours trying to dust this thing off.
Yeah, you need a team of people smoking that thing. That's funny. Well, that's okay. So you've got the Amadeus line, the OTG line, and the Draconian line, and you've expanded all of them. They've all got they all feature the, 4 different wrappers now, correct?
The Amadeus is 5.
Is 5. The Draconian is 4.
The Draconian is 4, and the OTG is 4.
Okay, and the Amadeus is 5. Okay, and then you've got those Lanceros. Now, the Amadeus Habano Lancero, I should have pulled this up beforehand, and John and I did a pairing show. And if I can pull it up while we're talking here, I will, without sacrificing the rest of the show. We've only got a few minutes left, but I'm curious to see if I can find that and see what we paired with it. Because I remember it being very, very good. Let me see.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I think I remember seeing that.
It
wasn't a – was it a Booker's? It wasn't a Booker's, I don't think.
Let me see. Okay, so what we did – oh, you know what? We went with the alliteration – and, I just started playing it, and I don't think you guys heard that. But we did Recluse and Red Ales. So I paired mine with the Rocket Red Ale from Bear Republic, which is a local brewery here in California. Better Off Red from Crux Fermentation Project, which I remember that beer now very specifically because it was a sour and I didn't realize that when I bought it. And the Station One Red Ale from El Segundo, also here in California. And it paired really well with the body of a red ale, if you're familiar with beer at all, at least the way that I think of a red ale. It's a bit more on the malty side. It's a little bit spicy, almost kind of like a winter ale, something that's a little bit warmer than maybe an IPA or something like that. And the pairing was really, really nice for those two. That third one I had, I messed up. I bought the wrong thing. Didn't realize it until I popped it open, but it paired really well with those. And when you say Booker's, the profile that we got from that cigar, and we probably mentioned this during the show, was that it would transition really, really well with the bourbon or even maybe not heavily peated, but a peated Scotch whiskey as well. Definitely some nice pairings with that particular blend. We're, like I said, in the next week, it's going to be 2 weeks from now that you guys can see it, that we're going to do the Connecticut. I'm not sure what we're going to pair that with. Would you have any recommendations what we should pair the Connecticut Lancero with?
But it's probably not going to, you know, sit well with you. But if you, I smoked an Amadeus one time and I was like in a place and they allowed smoking and it was awesome, but it was a situation where they only had so many beers there or ales or what have you. And I said, okay, give me the Sam Adams Boston Lager. Okay. And I was smoking the Amadeus Toro. And I was smoking the cigar, and I don't know whether it was how many of the Sam Adams I had had, but, you know, had anything to do with it. But, man, the pairing of that just regular everyday lager with the Amadeus Connecticut was absolutely amazing to me. The two complemented each other right on the 50-yard line, right dead on the 50-yard line. It was fantastic. And if I was going to have an alcohol with it, I would probably have a Leanda Reserva or a Ron Barcelo.
Okay.
That's rums. Both of those are rums. And those are fantastic with the Amadeus as well. But I'll tell you this. The Amadeus Lancero is different complexity-wise than the regular Amadeus line. You still get the same flavor characteristics of what people expect out of the Amadeus Connecticut, but you get it like if I was to take an electric guitar and do I have an electric guitar? Oh, looky here. I have an electric guitar. Look at this Recluse Fender. Ooh. So it's like taking an electric guitar and plugging it into an amplifier. And then it really brings out the music in the cigar. So the Lancero is the electric guitar plugged into the Marshall amplifier in a stack like Eddie Van Halen, okay, playing Eruption, okay? That's what the Amadeus Connecticut Lancero will give you. Now, maybe I built it up too much. I don't know.
No,
it's the best show you're ever going to go to. And then you show up and it's like, oh, it was good, but it wasn't what the guy said it was going to be. So
I'm looking forward to it. It's like I said, that'll air in a couple weeks. Scott, we're right up against the end of our Armed Forces Radio segment. So let everybody know where they can find you guys online.
RecluseCigar.com. That's where you can find us. And you can find us on Twitter at Recluse Cigar. And you can find me on Facebook at Scott Weeks. Just look for my smiling pearly whites with a cigar in my mouth, and you'll know that's me.
Perfect. Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it. I want to thank everybody tuned in on the Armed Forces Radio Network. I say this every week. You guys are built to do something I'm not built to do, and I have nothing but respect for everything you guys do defending us around the world. And fighting for our freedoms and the freedoms of other people around the world. I can't say it enough. I appreciate everything you guys do. Thank you for tuning in to another Cigar Chat. We'll be back next week. Logan would be here to tell me who our guest is, but he's not, so I don't know. But I know we've got one lined up for next week. It's going to be a good show. and really do appreciate it. You can find us at cigarfederation.com. Everybody have a great weekend. Stay safe. We'll catch you next week.
Amen.
Okay, so that's the end of our Armed Forces Radio segment. We're still live, and so people can still see us. It's still going to go out on our podcast. But now you don't have to correct yourself when you say shit. Like you did
earlier. Okay.
You just dropped one, and I noted it down. That gives John our – well, wait a second. It's not that kind of show. Not that kind of show. Oh, boy. I'm looking forward to that pairing. And there's nothing wrong with the Sam Adams Boston Lager. I'm a bit of a beer snob, but not that much. That's a pretty good beer.
We should have a contest, man. Why don't we have a contest, and we'll call it Where's Logan?
Okay.
We give them like 8 choices of where Logan actually is. And if they pick, you know, we can't give out free cigars anymore. That's the thing. That's the only problem. All right, here's the deal. We'll give them 8 choices as to where's Logan. Whoever wins gets a Recluse shirt. I'll ship it to them. Okay. All I need is size, and I'll ship it to them.
Okay, so how about this? We'll take a few minutes, and the folks who are still tuned in with us live here, send me a direct message on Cigar Federation, and I'm logged in as Cigar Federation, not as Robbie Raz, as I usually am. Send me a direct message, and the best answer within the next few minutes, I'll pick the answer that I think is best. So know your audience, and we'll pick a winner of a Recluse T-shirt. You keep handling that cigar like you want to smoke it.
I'm secure in my masculinity, man. You know what I'm saying? You got to be secure in your masculinity to smoke a cigar like this. You know, you Mach 5 with your hair on fire, bro. When you're lighting a cigar like this.
that's absolute truth. That's a beast of a cigar, man.
What I would like to do is I'd like to get out on my motorcycle, okay, cut on the ghost lights, fire this thing up about 6 o'clock at night where it's not too dark and it's not too light, ride down the road. Just bouncing down the road with my potato maker.
What kind of motorcycle do you ride?
I got a Charlie. It looks like a Harley, but it's not.
I was gonna say you're gonna have to dumb it down for a guy who doesn't ride. I don't know the terminology.
It's a V-Star 1100.
Okay.
It's a motorcycle that was originally made by Yamaha, and they call it V-Star. And now V-Star is its own company, so it's 1100 cc's. And they call it a potato maker because when you crank it, it goes potato, 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 you know? And then you got the boogie lights on it, so it's like, I wish I could pull it. I wish I had a picture in here of it because it's gray. It's gray with charcoal, and then it's got blue ghost lights down in the calipers and the engine and everything, so it lights up blue and gray and charcoal, and it looks amazing.
So you're riding around looking like Ghost Rider on that thing.
Yes, sir, except for when I say Mach 5 with my hair on fire, I guess that would go in conjunction with the Ghost Rider, right?
Exactly, yeah, your hair would actually be on fire. Well, and you wouldn't have a face, you just have a skull, but... whatever. They made a movie of that, and it was horrible. It was such a letdown.
It was a letdown. Nicolas Cage been in a lot better movies than that one.
Yeah, that was a swing and a miss. So let's see.
It all started with him holding the stereo up in the air. Do you remember that 80s movie?
That wasn't Nicolas Cage. That was John Cusack.
Dude, no, John Cusack did it, but Nicolas Cage is the one who wrote the book on it, man. That was his first big movie.
That's Say Anything. That was John Cusack. And the song, man. To take it a step further, you start talking about movie trivia. The song was...
No. Hey, I'm sorry, but you're wrong, bro. Pretty in Pink.
No, okay. No.
She was in Sweet 16 or 16 Candles, but she was also in Pretty in Pink, and I think in Pretty in Pink...
That's Molly Ringwald, but no, you're talking about...
You know who it was that was outside of her window with the stereo? It was the dude that was in Weird Science, too, with Kelly LeBrock. You remember the blonde-headed dude?
Yeah, that's No. I'm gonna defer here with you on this one because what you're talking about.
Google it because I can't because my phone's on Hangouts and I can't.
No, you guys can, and I know there's somebody out there who's, yeah, In Your Eyes is the song from Peter Gabriel that he was playing. It's Say Anything, and it was John Cusack holding that. You're talking, the blonde guy is.
That's only one movie, though, but you got to think previous to John Cusack, man.
Oh, man, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I've never seen, I'm getting backed up here in the chat room. It was definitely John Cusack. Maybe Nicolas Cage did it in another movie, but the iconic scene.
Fight you with Google right now, man.
Take some time to look that up, but I feel pretty good about this.
There's another contest for another shirt. Who Weeks is right with Nicolas Cage?
You're never going to give that shirt away, man.
From Weird Science, either one.
No,
the shirt has slightly been pre-worn. Okay.
So the kid from Weird Science—that's Anthony Michael Hall.
Yes,
he was in Weird Science and Breakfast Club and all those movies.
And he did that stereotype thing in not Sweet 16, but the other one.
What? Candles, Pretty in Pink.
Not 16 Candles, but the other one.
Pretty in Pink. He wasn't in Pretty in Pink, I don't think.
Okay, then maybe it was 16 Candles. Whichever one he was in, he did it.
I don't know, man. I don't know. We'll see. So let's see. I think we've got a winner here from the Where is Logan contest. And this is going to make more sense to the viewers, Scott, than it will to you. Miller Man is the winner. So, Miller, you're going to have to email me with your information, and I'll forward it on to Scott.
Can I guess where Logan is? Can I guess what the right answer was?
You'll never guess this, but go ahead.
I'm gonna guess it because this is what I think is the correct answer. He's in his office rubbing one out to Britney Spears' video, Hit Me Baby One More Time.
It's a good guess. Correct answer. That may very well – that may be the correct answer, and it really does conjure up quite an image. But Miller Man's answer here is Logan is gathering aerial footage of his Missouri tobacco farm for his pitch tonight. Now, that's the winner, and I'll explain to you, Scott, what that means is Logan's family has some land in Missouri, and about four or five different times during Cigar Chat, he has tried to get the guest of that night to buy the land from him to grow Missouri tobacco on. So that's what that's the answer there. He's gathering aerial footage of his Missouri tobacco farm for his sales pitch tonight. That's
okay, so we got Florida Sun Grown from Jeff Boyce. And then we have Pennsylvania, Lee Harrow and Broadleaf. And then we have Connecticut Broadleaf. And now we got Missouri what?
Chubby Leaf.
Missouri, oh, Chubby Leaf. I like that. That's awesome, man.
The Missouri Chubby Leaf. I'm gonna go ahead and trademark that real quick, and just in case. And that's, I would have said that in front of Logan anyway. It's just a joke, but yeah. So Miller Man, you're the winner of the shirt tonight. That's the best answer because that tells me that not only are you still here watching the show, but you're a fan of the show to begin with. So we're gonna reward those guys. Thanks, everybody. I did get a lot of answers. Miller Man, yours was the best. And I'm gonna do some research, Scott, and I'm gonna get back to you on this, but I'd be willing to bet a substantial amount of anything that it's John Cusack. That's what we're talking about here.
Okay, then let's bet that if you're wrong,
okay,
you have to grow your crotch hair like Osama bin Laden, and you have to shave your facial hair and your head like Mr. Clean.
Yeah, you locked me up, man. I don't know how to respond to that. It's funny. I realized this a couple of days ago. I worked for the San Francisco Giants, so I was at the ballpark, and we're not going to talk about the game the other day. But I started the beard in 2014. It was my playoff beard, and I know playoff beards are more of a hockey thing, but whatever. I just didn't feel like shaving, so it was my playoff beard. And I've had it for 2 years now. Almost like 2 years to the day. So it's funny that you would bring up shaving it. And I just don't think it's ever going to happen.
Does anybody Does anybody out there notice the same thing that I do of how he is trying to segue out of actually making the bet?
No, I'll make the bet. Yeah. I'll
so fun, you know.
If I'm wrong, I will shave my beard. But I'm not wrong.
And if I'm right, you will shave your beard, right?
If I'm correct.
Osama bin Laden. But you have to take a picture, but you have to cover up, you know, the parts that'll show, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter how weird the bet is because I am going to win. I just need you, for me, just tell me that, hey, you know what, Rob, you were right. I was wrong and I apologize. That's all I need from you.
Oh, well, in that case, let's shake on it.
There we go. Shake.
All right, everybody shook on that.
virtual shake there.
That's great. I didn't have to give up nothing on that except for to compromise my humility there.
Well, it's just because, see, I know that I'm right, and I feel bad.
What was the bet? That Nicolas Cage didn't do it first, right?
Well, no. The bet is that iconic scene is from Say Anything, and it's John Cusack.
Right, but the iconic scene is whoever made it iconic first.
That's not true.
What's
no,
not
no, no.
true?
It's if something's iconic, it's iconic for the reason that person did it. Somebody else may have done it beforehand, but nobody remembers that.
Well,
except for you.
Wait a minute. That doesn't mean nobody remembers that. That just means that you don't remember it.
Hold on. Okay, wait. Since we're here, how would I even Google this?
You're talking, man. That's not fair because you can't make a bet if you're searching the.
We already made the bet. Iconic scene hold on. We already made the bet.
But what bet?
Hold on.
I understand the bet. I know that John Cusack did it at one time.
Google right now, iconic scene with boombox outside window. And
okay.
you get footage from the Say Anything. There it is. Here, I'll even do a screen share. Here you go. So you can see the picture. Let's see. Can I do a screen share here? Yeah, there you go. That's John Cusack, man.
Yeah, of course it's John Cusack, but what about the original one?
It doesn't matter what the original one is. That's the iconic one.
Let me just break this up for anybody that's listening out there. Nobody knows what he typed into the computer screen. He could have typed John Cusack, boombox, outside of a window.
Hold
we
on.
Don't know. Trusting his word. Type Nicolas Cage, boombox, outside of a window. And see
hold
what
on.
Happens.
I'll show you guys exactly what I typed into the – because I can screen share that too.
No, yeah, don't – I want them to have doubt in their heart.
Hold on, look. There it is.
Flames. I'm going down in flames.
Iconic scene with boombox outside window. Say anything. Say anything. Blah, blah, blah. There it is.
Oh, that's messed up, man. Now, type in with Nicolas Cage and see if it comes up. See if I'm totally lost my mind.
Okay. It's so funny. I almost feel bad now. I'm running out of light. Here you go. I'll screen share this one too. Even when I type in Nicolas Cage, the same stuff comes up. It's not him.
Okay. Well, you know what? Movie trivia is over. I suck. You win. You are the man. I apologize. I bow to the feet of the 80s trivia wizard.
Now, wait a second. No, what you're supposed to say was, you know what, Rob, you were right, I was wrong, and I apologize.
Really? You would rather have that than the groveling that I just did?
That's
you
all
know
I
what,
need.
Rob, you were right, I was wrong, I apologize, my friend.
Boom. That's awesome. That makes me happy. In my household, I never get that. I'm never right.
Yes. Well, you've got it on tape now, so you can play it back. You can edit it, that one little segment. And you can loop it all the time. So, you know.
I'm going to make that the ringtone on my phone now.
No, don't do that, man. Now, every time I Scott Weeks, is that Scott Weeks?
That's funny. Hey, Scott, this has been a blast, man. I've had a lot of fun. I'm running out of light, so we got to get going. But it's been a great time. We'll have to have you on. We're not going to let it be another 2 years before we have you back on the show. But it's been a blast. Thanks for hanging out. Really do appreciate it.
Always an honor to be on Cigar Federation, bro. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Thanks for tuning in. And I actually looked here next week, our upcoming Cigar Chat. We've got Cigar Chat with Black Label Trading Company. So we're going to have James Brown and Black Label come on next week. That'll be a lot of fun. Appreciate it. Everybody, thanks for checking out another episode. Really do appreciate that. Hold on. Apparently, so Miller Man says that Nicolas Cage was in Valley Girl, and he waited in the bathroom shower for his girlfriend. I think that's the closest we've got.
I win.
I don't think so.
You got to shave your beard now.
I don't think so. It's got nothing to do with having a boombox outside the window.
That's exactly what I said, man. I think you need to go get the razor and do it right now.
I don't think so.
Everybody. Cigar Federation Live, take a vote right now and let's see if he needs to shave his beard and grow his ball hair.
I can tell you how that vote's going to turn out. The vote's going to be no. Everybody's on my side. So yeah, we'll be back. We'll be back next week. Scott, it's been a blast, man. A lot of fun.
Alright, love you guys, man. Take care.
Alright, thanks everybody. We'll see you next week. Check you out on CigarFederation.com.